baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook, you're listening to another edition of the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goes, Ari's co-host. What's up, Goes?
Man, you changed the intro. A little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
The, what was this, Friday, Laura had asked me, how does George do the intro again? She said that during Thanksgiving when you prayed, you were doing it so fast that it seemed like you were doing the intro to the show. And I couldn't remember exactly the wording, and I was hoping today when you said it, I'd go, that's what it was. And then you kind of flipped it on me a little bit, yeah.
Well, I think because one thing that nobody likes, especially when you're waiting all day to eat, you know, like such a big food prep, is cold food.
Yeah.
So I knew that there was pictures coming, and I knew that, and I knew that that there should be a prayer. So I figured rather than go, you do it. There's usually that whole thing. And then finally mom says, I'll do it, which I think she wanted. She always wants to do it anyway because she's probably the most eloquent. I just figured I'll do it and burn through this bad boy. No disrespect to God. I'm looking up right now.
But I went through that intro about three or four times and I know I came close. But there was something missing and I wasn't really sure what it was.
All right. Well. It's Monday, December 2nd. It's really Monday. It's not that late Sunday edition. It's really Monday. It's Monday, December 2nd. And there's a lot to discuss. We're going to go more of the news route because there were no results. If you'll recall, I think I teased the WXC card that was happening as we were doing our show last week, right before Thanksgiving. So, yeah, there's nothing to report there. The good news is there is a card on Saturday, but we'll touch more on that on the second show this week. And speaking of Thanksgiving, I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family and friends. A safe Thanksgiving, because I know oftentimes there's a lot of travel involved. And hopefully a stress-free Thanksgiving, because we know how those dinner tables can be, especially in this era of the team, man. That's all I'll say. All right, folks, buckle up. It's another edition of the MMA Junkie Radio Show.
Are you a football fan? Then you don't want to miss NFL 100, a USA Today sports celebration of the NFL's 100th season.
From the best on-field performances to the draft's biggest busts, we're picking the top 100 players, moments, and teams since 1919. See if your favorites stack up to ours at usatoday.com/NFL100. All right, Goes, you know where I'm headed with this one. We got to lead off with the biggest name in the sport, Conor McGregor, who has agreed to fight Donald Cerrone at UFC 246, January 18th. This broke, I believe, on Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was about to say we paid the price by coming in early so that we could free up our Thanksgiving, but it happened later in the day. We would have already been done with our tapings. So, yeah. It's happening, and so if I recall, I think I'd been telling everyone, this one's going to be a fight night. It's no longer going to be a UFC, and the UFC is going to be, UFC 246 is going to be in Houston with Jones and Reyes and Valentina Shevchenko and whoever she's defending against. What is it, Chikagian, I think? But in my defense, not only had I heard that from a good source, it was also on the UFC website. They had already started making those adjustments. UFC 246 has now been made again, the Conor McGregor Donald Cerrone fight on January 18th. And man, I mean, there's a lot that's going to be talked about this fight card throughout the week, especially on the spinning back clicks. So I'll probably hold on to a few things here, a few things there, because I know you, the loyal audience, follows us everywhere. But I can say this. As soon as I saw it goes, I did kind of do one of those, yes. Because it's fun to have Conor McGregor active and fighting. All right? Now, when the details poured in, it's not going to be at 155. I went, oh, here we go. You know, because we waited that long. And guess what, goes? I had just seen the fight versus him and Habib again. I don't know why. I was just prancing around the internet. It was thrown in front of me, and I hit play. I mean, I know the result. I kind of seen the fight a few times. But I said, what the hell? I hit it. I watched it. It's pretty special when Conor McGregor fights, even if you've already seen the fight. And I'll tell you why. And this is going to sound silly, but hopefully you're with me here. As the fight started, and Conor McGregor, you know how he always comes out and just meets you in the middle. In fact, he's mm-hmm. very aggressive. You could just see these moments of like from the crowd where everything was cheered. And then there was these quiet moments where people were holding their breath. All right. I don't know if that has an actual term or not. That audience was primarily Irish. There was a lot of Russians in there. The Russians come just as strong as most countries, except for probably the Irish. They really take it to another level. I'm sure the Mexicans and the Filipinos and the Puerto Ricans might have an argument there too. But regardless, you just hold your breath on every movement. Even the times when Habib was trying to take him down and he wasn't successful in securing both legs, putting you up against the cage and punishing you, the Irish are just cheering every single movement of defense, you know, where Conor McGregor, do you remember when Conor McGregor was able to kind of like do an abbreviated sprawl, a one-legged sprawl where his leg was folded, but he had reached behind Habib, and Habib wasn't able to get, you know, all the different leverages that he does when he mauls you, mm-hmm. and then he even got back to his feet, and then he had to fight a one-legged takedown a la BJ Penn, and all that was so compelling. Goes, that was a replay, and I was like, damn, you know, I was appreciative of so much of that. That's what Conor McGregor is, goes. He just brings this big spotlight and makes everything bigger than it should be. You know what I mean? And the spotlight also goes to the opponent. That's why the opponent is such a mega star like Habib. He's a star in his own right. But I that's why I think I pumped my fist. Yes. And I'm happy that it's happening. I'm not happening about all the details, but it's going down, goes, here in Vegas.
But the reason you felt like that was because of what was on the line that night. This fight
here.
Well,
you mean the title or the bad blood?
Both.
A little bit of both that night.
Both. But here, there's neither one of those two. In fact, they've actually gone the opposite route, right? They've been pretty cordial. So I don't know, come fight night, if that's going to lose some steam off of, I have
all
to watch Conor
McGregor.
One
press conference, and all of a sudden somebody's going to ask, hey, what happened? You know, you were saying something about McGregor backstage, and he wouldn't look at you, you know, and blah, 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 I'm telling mm-hmm. you. Or someone's going to go, who's the A side? Whatever. Somebody's going to ask something, or all of a sudden, I think Conor will just let loose. And by the time they have the weigh-ins, I think we'll have our moment, that little shove or the finger poke or something. Yeah, I mean,
I sure
Donald
hope so.
Plays
I hope
it pretty
something.
Cool, sometimes too cool, but because he's older now, he's experienced, he doesn't need all that to get hyped up. But mm-hmm. Conor can't get away from all that.
So hey,
remember you were saying it yourself, against Floyd it wasn't working. But you saw how animated he was, even at the weigh-ins. It's like weigh-in for crying out loud, you know? Mm-hmm. And he was like, ah, you're going crazy.
Had they said Conor McGregor versus Justin Gaethje, would you have felt any different?
I would have, because that tells me that he wants to be the king of 155 pounds again.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he's taking on the guy Gaethje beat. So it's more of a money fight. I don't know what you want to call it, but yeah.
Just I'm down.
To answer your question, yeah.
I'm down, and come fight night, I'll be excited, but this to me just feels like a placeholder fight, really. But I'm okay with that.
Well, another thing it seems like is just, what do they call now, Endeavor? I can't even keep track. Mm-hmm. It's just a big, big money grab to start the year, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, let's just get this kid to fight. That's what we need. We need something to start 2020 off with a bang. Whoever put him in there, doesn't matter, and they got themselves that fight, so off we go. And the good thing is, it's only like 7 weeks away?
Yeah, and really, I think the sport needs that dude to be around.
Yeah.
The buzz exactly. that he brings. Even if we're not feeling the matchup or whatever, like, I'd say like 80% of people that tune in to the UFC doesn't really care about rankings, or they just want to see a scrap.
Here's another thing that I'm hoping that I don't think anyone's brought up. He's fighting early in 2020. He in 2019, he didn't fight at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not just by his own choosing, but I think because of all these legal troubles and personal demons he's fighting. But in 2020, if he can get this fight off and then somehow fight two more times, he's going to go after that Forbes list. I think that's something that's what feeds the ego. So I bet you he'd like to at least at one time say, I was the highest paid athlete for that particular year. And the only guy that can get in his way is Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather has just that one fight. I mean, well, that's nine figures. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think Conor needs at least three of those to get into that range, unless he's fighting Floyd. And if he's fighting Floyd, then Floyd's tripling him no matter what.
Who are the people usually that trail them?
Well, then you got Ronaldo from, I was going to say Real Madrid, but now he's with Juventus.
But nothing extra is going to happen in his contract, right? Oh, you know, right?
There's always like a boxer or a Formula One racer or something like that.
Yeah.
No, I don't think there's anything in his contract that says you get a bonus or nothing like that. But I think that's one thing that like feeds
Canelo,
him.
Canelo, those guys.
Two, it's sales for his, you know, he's got a suit line, he's got the whiskey, maybe that. And three, just the money to pay these attorneys to do all this stuff, just to feed that lifestyle. That's
so crazy.
You know what I mean? So this could be a measuring stick for him just to know, do I got it still? Publicly, he'll say, yeah. But this is something that'll tell him, do I got it still? Can I really beat Gaethje? Can I really beat some of these others? Mm-hmm. And if so, then if I can get past this guy, then yeah, okay, put me in that mix with probably something in the summer while Habib is observing, you know, the religious holiday that he takes off kind of in the middle of the year, like on each side, like a couple months, Ramadan. And then by the end of the year, maybe Habib too, if Habib's still holding the belt. But segueing into another story, Habib versus Tony, that was solidified. Now the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. That's happening in April of 2020 at, what UFC is that one? That one's UFC 249. It's April 18th in Brooklyn, New York. And it just kind of hit me a little while ago, maybe when I was taking a shower. I think a lot in the shower goes like Izzy. I can relate.
That's where
to
I do my
says.
Best thinking.
Exactly. But I was thinking, how fired up are we over a fight that's like over 5 months away, I think?
Yeah, it's pretty far.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, man, like we still got a lot to go through to get to that.
Especially a fight that's been so snake bitten, you know, like it is kind of hard to get. I mean, when you see it on paper, you're excited. But really, it's kind of like, hey, let me get a little closer. Hear what these two have to say before I really get pumped up, because there's so much is going to happen between now and then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Habib's riding camels in the desert. Tony's probably breakdancing somewhere in L.A. And they haven't even started or even thought about a camp. But that fight is set, and what I was most happy about is that Habib won't be boxing Floyd. The division won't be held up. He is taking a fight before the religious holiday that he observes in the summer, Ramadan, and so that just keeps that division active, because there is still those other names like Justin Gaethje and the return of Dustin Poirier and Kevin Lee's comeback trail and, you know, some of these other fighters. What about them? It's only fair. You have to do that. You know what I mean? So at least this fight's going to happen. At least his defense against Ferguson's going to happen. If Habib fights Floyd in the late summer or early fall or whatever, I'd be disappointed, because I don't think we need to see it, but at least we got the Ferguson fight out of the way. And who knows? I'm acting like Khabib's automatic. I mean, Ferguson can very well win that fight.
I think right now is one of those times where I think you can tip your cap to the UFC, because really they put together two fights that the only one thing I guess you can say is, does Conor and Cowboy have to be at 170? Couldn't have been at 155. But other than that, I mean, I'm pretty happy, dude. These are two good fights. I'm down. I'll watch them. They sort of make sense. Things are progressing. I think this is one of those times where you kind of have to tip your hat a little bit to the UFC.
Yes. However, they are taking a little bit of flack, because they're going to go through a little bit of what they went through with Greg Hardy. They have allegations out in Ireland that I don't believe Conor McGregor has sorted through yet. The phone in Miami, done. The old man that got socked in the pub, done. You know what I mean? The stuff in Brooklyn, he's already served those suspensions as well and paid fines. That's been done. But, you know, that's some serious stuff over there, and that hasn't been cleared up, and the UFC's going to just deal with it, I guess, like they normally do. And Conor will have to deal with it as well, because I'm sure he'll get asked about that at some point. So could they have waited? Probably, you know, to let maybe that play out a little bit. But Dana definitely knows a lot more than he leads on. And I'm sure he's probably already looked through that to see just, you know, if in fact these are just allegations and he will be cleared. And if so, then he's willing to move on. He's one thing he's always been is loyal to his guys and gals, and he will move on, especially if he feels like there's no substance in these allegations.
They pay a lot of people good money to figure those type of things out so that they're not in that situation. So, yeah, I got to imagine if they made an announcement like that, they've kind of vetted the situation and figured out what's going to be best here. I'm sure some people will come at them a little bit, but it's nothing they can't survive. I mean, they've done it before, right?
Now, let me throw... Yeah, exactly. Plenty of times. Let me throw something at you that I know you'll probably be tripping on, which, because he's my roommate. But, I know you'll be tripping on this because I know you pretty damn well.
Okay.
Can you believe Conor McGregor is minus, like, 275?
That sounds about right.
Against Donald Cerrone?
Nah, I'm just kidding. 275, it doesn't shock me, but I would have said something more. If it's at 170, I would imagine maybe something like 185, but by fight night, he'd probably be somewhere in the 250 range, I would think.
People, he hasn't won a fight since 2016, and he hasn't fought. By the time he'll fight here, it will have been about 15 months.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, another long spell he had, I think, what was it, close to 3 years? Of MMA. Cowboy's pretty active. He's seen it all. Cowboy has a little bit of wrestling. He has great jiu-jitsu. He has great stand-up. I mean, Conor has power, but it's not like Cowboy doesn't have some KOs. The leg kicks, it just seemed like a lot. But maybe this is one of those where they know McGregor has a huge following. They're going to bet him regardless, so we got to prepare for that.
Yeah, I think so. The more and more I think about it, Cowboy, I mean, yeah, he is a dangerous opponent, but he does have these little things that he does in his game that really, like, Conor can't take this lightly at all. You know, this would be really bad if he got a loss here. You always have the Diaz fight.
And the featherweight card, maybe. But if he's fighting at welterweight, yeah.
I think I can finally say that's done. I just don't see him getting down to that ever again.
But as you say that, Jose Aldo in 2 weeks is going to weigh in at 135. Where is it going to come off? He's always been pretty ripped.
Mm-hmm. And it just sounds like a bad idea. The more and more you hear fighters speak out and the more and more they talk to each other. Who was it on Junkie? Somebody was – Michael Chiesa was talking about – Dustin Poirier and how he would get down to 145, and like, it just seems like a really, really bad idea, and more so the later in your career when you decide to do it. It just seems like so much more focus goes into that weight cut than the actual fight. Like, how about just the fact that you're about to fight a dude and there's a lot of strategy involved and things you have to remember? Just the stress of a weight cut at that time is pretty brutal. A guy like Jose Aldo, like, I don't know if that's the best idea. A guy like Frankie Edgar, I mean, if there's anybody that can do it, it makes sense for him.
How about this one? Khabib Nurmagomedov, minus 250 over Tony Ferguson. Ferguson's 14-1 as a UFC lightweight. Ferguson's been tabbed by many experts to possibly win this fight. He has a skill set to win this fight, including our own Dan Tom.
This one, I understand why they put it there. I mean, really, Khabib has just been pretty damn dominant. Makes sense. You know, Tony hasn't been around in a minute.
Just fought Cowboy. Well,
I mean, he hasn't been as active as he once was, right? I can see this one. You know, Khabib has shown the things that we call holes in his game, you know, where we go, well, this guy did kind of rock him or whatever. It's so tiny compared to what we see in other fights, right? It's just something we have to point out because the guy's so brilliant that there's not very many things to point out. So at minus 250, I could live with that.
All right.
But I'll tell you this. I'd bet Tony.
I think so. I think
why not? Just, right?
Yeah, I think I see it more as a 50-50 play, including the Cerrone-McGregor.
You think this fight's 50-50?
I mean, maybe I see Habib's slight favorite. He should be versus Tony Ferguson. 60-40? Yeah, something like I think where he should be like close to. When it's like 150 or less, I consider it almost a pick 'em in MMA. You know what I mean? And so that's what I feel like. Like if they were to fight 10 times, yeah, maybe 6-4, 5-5 or whatever. But if I can pick up somewhere in the neighborhood of plus 200, plus 225, and I get Tony Ferguson 14-1 in the UFC, I have to take a shot. That alone, that and the fact that I love to take underdogs, I mean, it's a done deal. These fights are like 3 months apart. I can't believe it. McGregor Cerrone again, January 18th, T-Mobile Arena, UFC 245 is coming up here on December 14th, and 249 is Habib versus Ferguson on April 18th in Brooklyn, New York. Moving on to some, those are the two big huge announcements, and now we're going to move on to some additional news. All right, guys. This weekend just did not provide much, so we're just going to have some fun a little bit here, touching on some of the latest news. You know, I pay the price every once in a while when I don't appreciate my colleagues' work, and that's the fact that they stay so busy that I just sometimes don't hit every story. But I had fun reading about the Blue Corner. Saudi Arabia's new combat sports venue is looking pretty good. I didn't know that the UFC committed to having a pay-per-view there for the next 5 years, and it's always going to involve a title fight. I somehow that just slipped under the radar. So that's pretty cool. They started off with Habib versus Dustin Poirier, and I guess they're going to do this once a year. But in the Middle East, I guess there's other arenas that are, you know, sprouting up. I believe this is the one that's going to host Andy Ruiz versus Anthony Joshua for boxing, three of the four boxing heavyweight titles that Ruiz holds. You know those guys, man, they can build these things and take them down like in 2 days, it seems like. But apparently this thing's state of the art, really, really nice.
Yeah, when you look at the renditions, it looks really, really nice. But I think they announced it as like, I don't know how they explain the stadium, but I guess it's something that can also be possibly taken down or moved, or I don't know how all that works, but it looks awesome. It looks really cool.
They build islands. They build towers. There's some crazy stuff going on in Dubai, Abu Dhabi, everywhere out there. Frankly, I'm intrigued. I'd love to go there one time in my life just to enjoy it. I know a lot of professional soccer players go to Dubai to vacation. They have beaches and, I guess, amazing nightlife. You'll see a lot of Ferraris on the roads. So it's probably kind of a utopian feel for someone that just loves to, you know, be amongst the elite.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, the MMA has this weird culture where you add in, like, the little things that the Brazilians do and the Irish. Like, they're both passionate, but they're passionate in different ways. So now you can add even something else, another destination, right? Like, everybody always wants to go to Japan and see the spectacles there. And you got KSW in Poland, and people say that's nuts. Like,
stadium show.
I love adding something new, and you're right. This one will shoot probably up, if not to the top of my list, right there. I think it would be really cool to catch a card out there.
Here's what I don't love. I don't love having differing opinions from people I enjoy and respect. Because sometimes I feel like I'm, you know, when you're on a wavelength with somebody and then all of a sudden they just throw something at you where you're like, what was this guy thinking? You know, and you almost think for a second you've been defrauded. Like, this guy's a lunatic. Mm-hmm. Michael Chiesa, he's in, goes for Jorge Masvidal versus Canelo Alvarez. These guys deserve a big payday. I mean, that part, yeah, I guess. But I would think, like, Chiesa sat here, goes about 3 or 4 times in our studio, and every single time when he's walking away, I always look at you and go, I like that guy. Yeah. I like that kid. You know what I mean? I he loves MMA, and for that, I appreciate him. When he said that, I guess because of the payday, sure. But, you know, here's the thing, guys. I want to keep it 100%. Canelo would win that fight, and he would just, it wouldn't be pleasing to the eye.
It'd be more pleasing than Floyd and Connor. Because Masvidal,
not the result.
Masvidal
the result
will come out and throw, but yeah.
The result would not be pleasing, man. It just would not look good. You're right. The boxers will play with their food until the very end, and then they will put you away, and it's just going to be like, what are we doing? Like, if it's all about money, I guess it's all about money. Go out there and get it. But I saw that, and then I also saw one of the coaches that I really, really like, Justin Buchholz. He really wants to see this fight. I wrote him on Twitter, Coach, wouldn't you rather see Jorge versus the winner of Usman and Covington? I thought that's why we were all here, to watch great fighters in great fights. You know, the best possible fight for Jorge Masvidal is the winner of that fight, which, again, UFC 245 takes place on December 14th. We're literally 12 days away. He writes back, I would enjoy the spectacle that MMA versus boxing brings. Canelo versus Masvidal would be an event, and they would do it for the BMF belt. It would be slick. Then see what the landscape looks like. Either way, everyone's making money. I guess what it boils down to is maybe everyone's just looking out for each other. And if there's money, crazy money to be had, okay. Not me, man. I want to see. Of course I want to see people make money, but I also want to see people kind of stay in their lanes a little bit. Jorge has got, he's got next. He's got the quarter on the arcade game. In 12 days, he can challenge one of these guys. He should be at the T-Mobile sitting front row. He should be brought in, you know what I mean, to start building up that fight. He deserves it. He's an MMA fighter. That's what he is. That's where he belongs.
There's certain dudes, when you look at them, like a Conor McGregor, I feel like however many times you put him in a situation where he can make a lot of money, he's going to do it. There are other fighters where I feel like they kind of got a cap. Like, they don't need millions and millions and millions. Masvidal strikes me as that. He's been doing this for so long. I don't think he wants to sit around still fighting, still getting into scraps. Like, I think if he had like a certain amount of money, he'd just be done and be happy and retire and do his own thing. Time to live the good life, right? This weekend they had Barry Sanders, and he was working one of the games. And he's one of those guys that just kind of took off. And we all said, nah, he'll be back. He's great. What's he doing? But he was just happy with the amount of money he had and what he had accomplished. And so in this situation, like, I don't know that you would see Jorge Masvidal come back to MMA if he's going to clean out, you know, that type of money with Canelo Alvarez. Like, that to me seems like that would be the end of
Jorge Masvidal. Floyd knew that he could make more money than he's ever made with Conor McGregor, because Conor McGregor is pretty special. He's pretty popular. He's got a whole nation behind him. There's the whole white versus black thing. Floyd knew this ticked a lot of boxes. Is Canelo really going to say, well, what does this guy bring to the table? I mean, I know he's got probably like a guaranteed deal with DAZN, and maybe he gets whatever. But I'm sure it gets more lucrative the more they sell. And it's going to be more lucrative for them to fight other boxers than it is for Jorge Masvidal. Masvidal's just not on the McGregor level. Mm-hmm. He's got better boxing skills than McGregor, and that part's a little bit intriguing to me. But popularity-wise, even though he's taken off to great heights, he's not McGregor's got like almost 30 million followers on Instagram. Masvidal just cleared a million. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think we need to cool our heels. I think Masvidal's got an opportunity to fight for a title here in 2020, and then maybe a couple title defenses, and he could be super, super popular in MMA, and then maybe he can direct the ship into other directions, you know, at that point. But I think he's got stuff here waiting for him that could be very lucrative in a sport he absolutely loves.
I don't blame him for asking for it. I don't blame him for feeding into the fires there a little bit, but it's just something I don't want to see. And I love what Canelo Alvarez said in return. Because he said, I think, what a lot of people would think, and that's, this fight just doesn't challenge me. You know, I can make a lot of money, but there's no challenge in it.
Yeah. Cynthia Calvillo, she fights on Saturday. While she's in Washington, D.C., she would love to meet with Donald Trump and ask him why Master Thong's visa was denied. Well, I guess, once again, if you can just say something and put it into existence via the internet and it gets attention, sure, why not? You know, I mean, I'm sure we'll hear about her and Marina Rodriguez and X's and O's and all that throughout the week. But what do you think of that?
I think if somebody were following us around and made quotes of all the things we said, there would be a lot of these types of stories. And I don't know that every time you say something like that, you 100% intend to act on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just something she kind of said, and you know, it makes for a good headline, and it goes out. But at the end of the day, I don't think Donald Trump is really worried about those type of things. And
now Ronda Rousey says it, and maybe he might. I think it might land on his desk, right? He might at least look at it and go, "Well, what can we do?" Right? Is she at that level?
I think she's pretty close. I don't know if she
is. He's cool with Dana White too.
Yeah.
So she throws it out there. Maybe something happens. Cynthia Calvillo, I don't know. She had been training in Thailand, and so she was reunited with Master Tong.
Mm-hmm.
He was their longtime Muay Thai coach when she was at Alpha Male. And so as part of her camp, she was out there training. She really wanted to make it happen, but they denied him.
Yeah.
Who knows? Usually when I see stuff like that without even knowing the details, I bet you maybe there's some taxes or something that weren't paid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Why wouldn't you be let in? He lived here for many years, or maybe he overstayed the welcome. Who knows? But
maybe.
That cracked me up that she threw it out there. All right, cool. Look, let's end with a couple of stories that I think are important for us to touch on. The UFC, about a week ago, maybe a little bit more, they revised their anti-doping policy. And so now they've announced a set of revisions to the UFC's anti-doping policy. And basically, I think what most people are interested in is, you know, what kind of changes have been made. And what I was most interested in was a lot of those tainted supplement cases goes, where now it appears the UFC, I guess, has lowered their bar. You know what I mean? So if somebody does test positive, but by smaller, I guess, limits, by going over, you know, the threshold, not by enough for someone to raise an eyebrow and go, they're trying to enhance their mm-hmm. performance, but yet it is in their system, and by the letter of the law, they have to report it. They are loosening that a little bit. Now, a little too late, I'm sure a guy like Frank Mir and Tom Lawler and others may argue, and that is unfortunate. It really is that someone had to pay the price. But what I've learned in covering sports, not covering them, but watching them and covering the sport over the years is usually the precedent is what is usually where you start, and then you build and learn and evolve off of that. You know what I mean? So if we were to watch, for example, a fight breakout, LeBron James and Luka Doncic, they played yesterday. Let's just say they fought. And we know that a couple punches were thrown. Don't we usually say, well, last month, you know, Russell Westbrook or someone did the same thing and they got suspended for 4 games. So look for something. I mean, the announcers say it, the fans say it. Same thing here. This whole thing started in 2015 with USADA. And along the way, they've just kind of learned. And it's screwed some people's careers. And that's what's unfortunate. But I like that they're doing this. I think it reminds me of what they did with pot. Pot had certain levels as well, where I remember there was fighters that were just tapering off. That was their way of getting around the test was, well, I love to smoke pot, but I'll just stop for 2 weeks before. And then we found out, nah, man, if you're heavy, if you're a hardcore pot user, you better go 3 weeks or even 4 weeks in the case of the Diaz because of the metabolites or whatever. Same thing here. They're loosening up some of their changes here on the contaminated supplements. And I think at the end of the day, it's a good thing. Now, there's going to be a lot of people bitching about this should have been done a long time ago, but it wasn't, all right? And it is now. So that at least I'm happy about.
Well, if you read it, like, let's make something clear. They didn't make it so that, let's say, you could use steroids and then taper off. It's such a small amount that I think it's just more of like a covering your ass type thing, I think, at the end of the day. And adjustments do need to be made, and you're right that something like that does affect a fighter's career, especially in our sport, more so than I think boxing. I think in boxing, from fight to fight, you make so much money that you could probably can take a year off or whatever. In MMA, not every fighter can do something like that. So yeah, it does really, really mess with a fighter. I think it's a good thing. I think even here in 2019 going on 2020, I think we'll probably still see another round of these type of things. I think it's going to take a while before we really get that down.
Yeah, and then one other thing that came of this, actually there was a few different changes, but we don't have time to get into all of them. But another thing is the UFC is now providing supplements to the fighters through the UFCPI, so that's a good thing. I think the fighters pretty much should have known by now that they're very readily available. They have a team there. Mm-hmm. It's only a two-person team, but, I mean, look, they're ready to take your call. this lady named Donna Marcoloni, and then there's Jeff Nowitzki. If you have any doubts before you put something in your body, you're supposed to call them. You can take pictures with your phone and send texts worldwide and in an instant and know if this is cleared or not. But now they're being a little bit more specific. And so, you know, they already assist them on fight week, but now they're assisting them throughout the year and basically saying, hey, look, we have an actual brand now that you can take and you won't have these problems of any tainted supplements. So that's good. Hey, look, if you want to look a little bit more about this, it's a great article. Shout out to my mate, Simon Head. The title was Six Questions About the Revised UFC Anti-Doping Policy Answered. He went into really, really nice detail there. So check it out, and you can become more familiar with some of these changes. I will say this. I just happened to look, and Conor McGregor, Daniel Cormier, Rafael dos Anjos, Holly Holm, Stipe Miocic, Robbie Lawler, Amanda Nunes, Jose Aldo, Tyrone Woodley, they've been all tested more than 35 times. You know how at 25 they get this little award on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe even a t-shirt might be floating around. McGregor's almost at 50 samples. So that's pretty impressive. And what this tells me, there's like three females, seven males. There's older fighters, younger fighters, mostly older fighters. They're all pretty famous. Not enough internationals there, I guess Jose Aldo. But the UFC is trying to basically, they're going after everybody. They're testing everybody. You know what I mean? Nobody can say that, oh, yeah, they protect the stars. I know a lot of people feel that way because of what happened with John Jones, but there are a lot of other fighters that have been tested, and they have cleared it with not one hiccup, goes. So shout out to especially those. Hey, I like that. And then the last thing is Mark Hunt. He had a bunch of claims against the UFC, but he was hanging on to one. So this past February, basically there was a judge here in Nevada who dealt a major blow to Mark Hunt. By ruling, it was a dismiss with prejudice, meaning you can't no longer like appeal, you know, and go through that again. I guess she wasn't impressed with his claims and basically asked for more information. When he didn't provide it, she dismissed all those. But the only thing that was left was a breach of implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing. So that recently was dealt with. And Mark Hunt loss goes. And so in layman's terms, because I am not an attorney, you're aware of that, right?
Mm.
In layman's terms, he basically was getting at, when I fought Brock Lesnar, he had plenty of time from the time he was tested to when he fought to expedite the test and find out if I'm getting in there with a cheater or not. To Mark Hunt's defense, God, it sounds so harsh when you say that. He has been in there with people that have had positive tests. I don't want to. I think some are cleared and some aren't. But Frank Mir, Antonio Silva, Fabricio Verdum, Antonio Silva again. You see what I'm saying? He's been in there. Alistair Overeem is another one, and now Brock Lesnar. I think his point is, hey, I fought a lot of these fighters who have had these allegations proven, and this has cost me. And if you think about it, goes. If it possibly made the difference and you're not collecting a win bonus, remember Mark Hunt makes pretty good money, and then you add it all up, and then you add up what a win streak could have possibly done for you. Maybe you would have gotten a contender fight. I understand what he's saying. I don't think it had anything to do with
and the punishment in the fight.
Well, I don't know if maybe like, oh my God, he could have killed me. He could have done that. I know a lot of people say that, but I think it's more about the money lost.
Think so?
I think so. Yeah,
think about that fight with the first fight with Antonio Silva.
Yeah.
Woo, boy, they put some mileage on themselves, right? That, the Brock Lesnar fight, look at some of the beatdown in that fight.
Well, I think before that wasn't the USADA era, but for sure Lesnar was USADA era. And USADA, you know, Lesnar just kind of came along. He felt like there was a delay in the announcement. You know, that's why you have to go back in. If you retest, if you retire and go, all right, I'm back in, you have to go 6 months into the pool to avoid all this. Again, precedence. We discussed this earlier. But he now lost that as well. The judge basically just said, you can't prove you would have won even if he hadn't tested positive. And I guess she's right, but I still understood his point that this could have been expedited sooner. And since then, I know the UFC's made announcements, and they are expediting these tests a lot quicker. Unfortunately, it just comes at the cost of somebody's possible brain cells, somebody's possible win bonus, and maybe somebody's career as well. Look, Hunt, how much longer was he going to fight? I think he's 45, but still, He's no longer with the UFC. I'm sure part of it was also the UFC's, once that contract ran out, they didn't cut him. His contract just ran out. Maybe they just saw it as a guy that's high maintenance as well because of this.
Mark took it to him online, though, didn't he?
He sure did, man. He was pissed. He sure did. Again, if you just Google Mark Hunt, MMA Junkie, you can see more about this because the articles go into you know, a lot more greater detail than what we're going into here. But I thought they were big stories, and I definitely wanted to discuss them. All right, with that, look, later in the week, we'll have our next show. I already have the odds here for UFC on ESPN 7 goes. There's some good fights, man. Overeem's back. Marina Rodriguez versus Cynthia Calvillo. Big Ben Rothwell against Stefan Struve. Aspen Ladd and Yana Kunitskaya. Cody Stamann, Rob Font, Tim Means. I mean, it's going to be a fun card. Yeah. And this will be a nice appetizer for UFC 245 the week after here in Las Vegas. It's been a nice, fun 3 weeks without the UFC in some ways. I've kind of missed them, but I'm looking forward to this Saturday. But more on that on Thursday's episode. Folks, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at MMA Junkie George. He's at The Goes. The radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. And once again, thank you so much for your support and in following us. And check out our other franchises that we've done, the video franchises that we've launched, Off Guard, Spinning Backlick, and Rankings Report. We are out of here. Go out there and be a champion.